At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Into September, and guys are really starting to roll in, and you know, like, we're up against it now. Camp's right around the corner for the rookies. Preseason games are lurking there. Summer's over.
20 days, I think.
Summer's over.
No, it's not. We need another month.
No, you're not going to get it.
We need another month. You know, I mean, my golf game is just improving again. You know,
your golf game doesn't have a chance against the clock that has the snow coming towards you.
You live in a town that doesn't get snow. I do, and I need more time. I need more time.
I apologize, but on the subject of time and being able to navigate that, it's a perfect jump over to our guest today in Mike Brophy, and what an incredible journey our friend from the Hockey News has been.
Well, if you recall, we had Mike on, February or March, and he was looking for a new kidney. His kidney had gone down into single-digit efficiency. 6%, 5%, and was on dialysis 3 days a week, and was, let's face it, was barely surviving. And it became public, and he started to look for a kidney transplant donor, and Shazam found one, and is now a month after recovery, after surgery, and it's great to be great to hear from Mike about what he's gone through and what it means to him.
I call this one of my sister-in-law Shauna's questions, because she's always got these weird angles when she talks to me about the show. But what's the first thing you would stop to eat after you get the green light, after being on all the restrictions? We'll ask Brof about it, but where would you go first?
It would have to be the world's largest hamburger. A big one, like Five Guys. Five Guys, you know. Yeah. One of those elite burgers. You know, as much as I love McDonald's, and I do love, we call them the Golden Arches of Shannon Steakhouses here. You know, it would have to be a burger.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm the same way. I'd have to hit a drive-through of some kind.
Yeah, but you
just
have
to roll through the experience.
You have In-N-Out. You know,
we do.
In-N-Out.
Carl's Jr. Yeah, well, we got a few of the good ones.
Yeah, you do. You do. There's the level of salt in all of those burgers.
I know. I would do a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Well, we do need a sponsor, Carl.
I don't think you and I in a Carl's Jr. commercial would measure up to the current air proposals.
That's a good point.
Rolf, standing by. We'll get to his journey and what it's like to go through this operation, this surgery, this process of looking for a kidney and then a kidney transplant. It's all coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
At Ability Chiropractic, They do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I'm having flashbacks to the old the Hockey News show right now. John, you want to...
I wasn't part of that one.
No, you weren't part of that one, but I've got the cat and three dogs, which includes a puppy, going at it today, and I'm all alone. I'm trying to record and look after them at the same time. And, bro, it reminds me of the Hockey News show back in the day on Sportsnet.
How many takes is it going to take Kipper to do 2 minutes in the box? The crew's betting on it.
There was some good wagering that happened during that.
Well, it was a great segment. Good, though. You know what? That segment was good. I always enjoyed it.
It was good. It just took a lot more than 2 minutes in the box.
You'll have to find it on YouTube now, because I think it's probably ancient history, isn't it?
Here's a true story, Brof. You remember the times that Kipper would bring in his sweaters, his jerseys, yes, and they would hang them up, in the Hartford sweater and the Rangers sweater and the Leaf sweater? But he would sometimes forget to take them out of his car when he got home. And they all got swiped one time.
I wonder if they ever found who took them. I always wondered, like, somebody's got Kipper's collection.
You should see my great Hartford Whaler sweater right over here.
Yeah, but hell, hold on. In reality, how much would those sweaters be worth? Seriously. It's Nick Kipper.
To him, they're amazing, and he lost them. And some guy's walking around with these Kiprios jerseys.
I know, that is so funny. I remember that day.
Oh, I felt so bad for him. And then I'm like, can we just go across the street and buy a couple of new ones?
By the way, Darren, you've buried the lead here today.
What's that?
Brof's lead. You've buried the lead on Mike Brophy here.
Well, I just wanted to make sure he was comfortable. We always bury the lead. How are you feeling, Mike?
I'm feeling great. You know, it's nothing short of a miracle. I've been sick with kidney disease for so long, and really I've had the disease for over 25 years, but it just kind of sat there dormant, and there wasn't a real change in lifestyle until about 4 years ago, and the curtain kind of came down suddenly, and all of a sudden I started having all kinds of health issues. And it was complicated by the fact that Marilyn and I went away for a 3-week vacation to an island, and I picked up a virus. And that, for all intents and purposes, was the beginning of the end. It really shut down my kidneys. And it's been a challenge for 4 years. And miraculously, we're talking 4 weeks and one day after the transplant, and my life is returning to normal. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, we had you on just after it all had become public and that you were looking for a donor. How did finding the donor come about?
Well, you know, I was very fortunate, and you guys can attest to this better than most people. The hockey world is just unbelievable when it comes to helping its own. And I don't know the exact number because the kidney clinic doesn't reveal this, but my understanding is I had up to 17 people go through the testing to give me a kidney, and which is remarkable. You know, some people are on the wait list for 5 years, 6 years, and I was 7 months, you know, and I take nothing about that for granted. I did 7 months of dialysis, which I can't speak for everybody else, but for me, it was a walk in the park. 4 hours, three times a week. And people would say to me, boy, that dialysis must be a drag. And I'd say, what are you, nuts? It's keeping me alive. Every time I walked into my clinic, I felt like kissing the machine. You know, it kept me alive. And I was deemed to be one of those kidney patients that couldn't do long-term dialysis. It was made very apparent to me that for my survival, I was going to need a kidney very, very quickly. And I was really fortunate that I found a donor within 7 months.
And so, I mean, does it just come, you're sitting at home, you're watching a hockey game and the phone rings and says, Mr. Rofe, we have some good news?
That's exactly how it happens. You know, like my donor is somebody who's been close to me for a lot of years. Her name is Terry Haynes, and she's my former sister-in-law. And we've been out of touch for a lot of years. You know what happens when you go through a divorce. You go your separate ways and you lose touch. But Terry told me that when she heard about my situation, she made an instant decision. Like it took her 1 second. I'm gonna try to help him. And she went through the testing and we kept in touch with each other. And she would phone me and say, you know, it's looking pretty good. It's looking like I might be a donor. But you go through a real series of tests and you don't know, because the last test could be the one that trips you up and boom, you got to look for another donor. But we kind of had a feeling we might be okay for each other. And when she found out she was able to be the donor, she let me know. And we got the phone call the same day. You know, It's a great system, at least for me it was.
And was that the only close call, or did you have other avenues that you were going down that had the potential to be a donor?
You know what, Darren, they put the people through the testing, and that's there's phase one and phase two. So I don't know for sure, but I don't think others may have gone through phase two because they only have they have limited resources. They can't be testing 17 people at the same time. So if Terry had not been able to be a donor, they would have moved on to the next best candidate. And it might have meant 3 more months of me being on dialysis. But like I say, that was a big nothing. You walk in at 7:15 in the morning, and by 7:45, they've got you hooked up to a machine. You lay there. I could read. I could listen to music, or I could have a snooze. And 4 hours later, they unhooked me and I went home. It was no big deal.
So from the time of the news, was how long before you were on the operating table?
Maybe 2 weeks.
Wow.
It happened so fast. It was unbelievable, you know. And through the entire process, I didn't have 1 ounce of anxiety or trepidation about the operation. I got a 10-year-old granddaughter who gets a bit nervous about things. And she kept saying, Papa, are you scared? And I would tell her, Audrey, if they hooked me up to a machine to see if I was lying, it would register as zero. I had no fear whatsoever of going into this. I told her, I said, you know, these people do this every week. They do kidney transplants. They know what they're doing. They went to school for 8 or 10 years. So my worrying would have been a big waste of time, and everything went so smooth. It was unbelievable.
What was your runway that you were going to be able to do the dialysis?
In terms of what?
You said you couldn't be on dialysis.
Oh, yeah. They didn't give me an exact date, but they made it abundantly clear. You know, when you've got kidney disease, and like I say, after I got the virus, my kidneys really dropped. I was hovering along nicely at about anywhere between 20 and 25%, which was okay. I didn't have to make a lot of changes in my life. I had to make severe changes to my diet. You know, my joke always has been that if it tasted good, I couldn't eat it. So my diet was very bland, but I could have gone on like that for a long time. But once I got the virus and my kidneys went down to 5%, they told me, you're just not a candidate for long-term dialysis. When I would go to the clinic, there'd be 17 people hooked up to machines. One guy was 55 years old and has been doing it for 23 years. And he has no hope of getting a kidney because some people have other complications. Like a lot of them have diabetes. And when you have that, you can't do a kidney transplant. But for me, it was pretty easy. And I guess I was concerned about if I didn't get a kidney fairly soon, we were going to enter an area that I was not looking forward to. And I'd be on the clock a little bit. So that was my biggest concern.
Mm-hmm. Rolf, it sounds like you know more about medicine than you do about hockey these days.
You know what? You could probably make a strong case for that now. And, you know, to be truthful, my wife, Marilyn, has done most of the research and she tells me what I need to know and what I don't need to know. And I don't want to sound lame, but when you're going through it, you're kind of saving all your effort for just getting through. Like I say, the dialysis was easy, especially when I started. It gave me a new lease on life. So I'd get home from dialysis and I'd have this burst of energy and I'd be going around the house cleaning things and doing the dishes. And once reality set in after a while, you get home from dialysis and you're kind of knocked out for about 6 or 7 hours. And walking upstairs, we have a back split and six stairs up. I'd have to walk up to get to my bedroom and I'd flop on the bed and that'd be me done for about 5-6 hours. Then my energy would come back. But, you know, the dialysis does in 4 hours what your body is supposed to do on its own in 48 hours. So it hits your system pretty hard. Other than that, you know, my next day, I felt like $1 million.
Where are you now with your diet and your day-to-day activity?
Well, my diet is pretty much returned to normal. Like, I'll tell you, I was in the hospital.
Like normal?
Like, wow. I have to avoid sodium, which I've never been a salt guy all my life anyways. But think, like, when I was on my strictest diet, I couldn't eat potassium. So no french fries, no potatoes. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, everybody's slopping down the potatoes and gravy. Gravy's got a lot of sodium in it. Potatoes had the potassium. So I would just sit there with my tongue hanging out thinking, aren't you guys lucky? Now I can eat these things. And like I say, I was in the hospital for a week. When I got out, we had both my boys came over and we had a barbecue. I had my first barbecue sausage in 5 years and it felt illegal. Like it was so good. I was looking for cops to come over the fence, you know, and stop me. But now I can eat burgers. I could never eat burgers before unless they were homemade. And, you know, say what you want about homemade burgers. Nothing like Harvey's drive-thru.
Have you done a drive-thru?
I have done a Harvey's drive-thru. That was number one on my list. You know, give me the fries and onion rings and a big Harvey's burger.
Oh, good for you.
It was great.
That's
like having Terry. A cigarette afterwards.
How's Terry?
Terry is doing amazing. She was up and about the day after the transplant. She was on the same floor as I was, but she was in a different ward. She walked down and it was a bit of a walk considering what she'd been through the day before. And she was released after 2 days. And we talk about every second day. I mean, this girl saved my life, you know, and how do you thank somebody for that? I mean, I always tell people I was a writer for 41 years and I can't come up with the words to sufficiently thank her for what she did. And for her, it's just no big deal. She's one of those people who lives to help others. And I just happen to be her next target to help.
And you are now a walking advertisement for organ transplants and organ donors, right?
Absolutely. In fact, my wife was the first person who tested for me. And because of our blood types, she turned out to not be a candidate. But after all we've been through, and I really mean we, because it is more than a one-person situation, Maryland is now going through the testing to give a kidney to somebody else. You know, she saw what this has done for my life. And she says, somebody out there is frustrated because they can't get a kidney, and I'm going to give them a kidney. And it blows my mind that she's doing this.
So if you don't know somebody who's in need of an organ and to go through the testing there, how do you get involved? How should people
be on a list? You can go online and look up, you know, kidney disease, and they will point you. And it's the testing is very, very easy. You do blood work. You do a test of your heart. You know, they hook you up to machines. The testing is so easy. So if you're one of those people who feel that you want to help somebody by doing this, and hey, I don't know if Terry is representative of what everybody goes through when they don't donate an organ, but all I can tell you is this girl just walked into my room the day after the surgery like nothing had happened. And it's a 4 to 6 week recovery for her. I mean, she obviously can't do strenuous things. You have to get your rest during the day. It's what I'm going through now too. Like, I can't lift anything more than 10 pounds for 3 months. And Marilyn and I went away for a couple of days and I lifted our suitcases and they were more than 10 pounds. And I felt it. I really felt the stress on my core.
You dummy.
I know. It's,
well, let's be honest, Darren. When was the last time you ever thought Brophy would listen to anyone? Seriously.
Good point. You know, my wife said the same thing this morning.
I'm macho.
Yeah. You know, I went and bought us a case of water and I picked it up. And that's when I felt the stress in the kidney area. And when I went to my clinic this morning for my weekly checkup, and they said, you know, we're not joking about this 10-pound thing, because we have people who lift over 10 pounds and come back and they have a hernia. It just, boom, you have a hernia. So they said, don't monkey around with that.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with some the conversation that we're used to having with Mike Brophy, that around hockey, and see if I can call him a dummy one more time. I'm a lot tougher on Zoom. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
John, you were biting your tongue there.
Yeah, well, no, but, and by the way, Canadian Blood Services, you can, if you go online to the Canadian Blood Services website, it will tell you how to be part of the kidney organ donation program. You can be tested. It's very simple to do. I just looked it up as we were talking. And so It's the same place where you look up to donate blood, and it's something that we probably all should consider at some point in our lives to help someone else. So,
and you know the great thing about the system is you can donate, like you don't have to donate a kidney to somebody you know. There's a paired program where if I need a kidney and you want to give me a kidney, but you're not a match, you can give your kidney to somebody else, yeah, and I move right to the top of the list to get the next kidney. Andrew Werner, who was a goalie for the Peterborough Petes and is now an assistant coach with the Petes, he went through the same process, and his wife tested and was not a match, but she turned around and quickly gave a kidney to somebody else. Werner got a kidney, and I guess because he's a lot younger than I am, his recovery was fantastic. Like, he bounced back very, very quickly. And Andrew's wife found the entire process to be so uplifting that not only did she donate a kidney, she donated a part of her liver and saved another person's life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Andrew's wife has now saved two people's lives. And I can only go by what Andrew tells me, that she found it the most uplifting thing she's ever done in her life.
And the thing about livers is livers regenerate.
Exactly. So you give a piece of
it. You don't have to give your whole liver. You can give a piece of your liver. Yeah.
Does this mean I have to like acknowledge some feelings towards the Peterborough Petes beyond bitterness? Like, I go back to
There's the Brandon in you.
Yeah. Bob Atwell, 1979. Yes. I'm still angry about that.
I was in the rink for that.
I know you were. I've heard all the stories. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, I was the president of the patch for a while, you know.
Yes.
Really?
So now this is great because you're healthy and you can look forward to seeing the new Ottawa Arena.
Yeah, there's a real buzz around town. Like, I guess there's a slight divide. Some people who live in the West End aren't happy about having to go downtown, but I find it hard to come up with a logical argument against refurbishing the downtown and revitalizing and having the rink in an area where you can help all the businesses. And I don't mind the old arena. I have no problem. I live in the West End. So for me to hop onto the 417 and get there, it takes me 15 minutes. And I've never found getting out of the arena. Maybe one time I had a tough time getting out of the parking lot, but I've probably been to 30 or 40 games, and the one out of 40 is not bad odds. But I'm kind of excited about the new rink.
What are you hearing for a timeline?
I'm thinking a couple of years.
I bet.
I don't follow this closely.
It's got to be more than that. The environmental testing and the environmental work on that land is going to take a couple
of years
before you can even dig the hole. So it's going to take a while.
For sure.
More excitement about the arena or about the team, Mike?
Hard to say. You know, the local media is always encouraged, you know, they get a new fourth line left winger and every problem in the world has been solved.
That's boo-boo. They're
now going to whip everybody in the first three rounds and go to the Stanley Cup final. But I think Travis Green has the team moving in the right direction. I was very impressed with what he accomplished in 1 year. You know, you hear them speak on the radio and, boy, if they just won game six, they definitely would have won game seven. And I'm going, what are you talking about? I don't know how they come to that conclusion, but I think they're moving in the right direction. I think they oversell some of their players. At the same time,
I don't think they got the goaltending across the board that they expected last year. He was good when he was playing, but there was so hit and miss. If Linus is what we truly expect, I think they're in really good shape.
Yeah. I mean, so much comes down to goaltending too, but I look at like a guy like Stützle. I really like this kid. I think he's got more to show us, but they talk about him now like he's among the elite. Now, I don't see that. I think he has the potential to join the elite, but been in the league for a number of years now, and I don't think he's creeping towards being a top 10 player in the league. So what's his high end? What's his top end? Is he's clearly a first line player, mm-hmm. but when you rank all the first line players, I think he's in the bottom half of the league. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy that they're counting on to take them to the next level, and I'll believe it when I see it.
See, I think Tim Stützle is the unfortunate victim of being compared to the other great German in the league. I think there's been so many comparisons over the last 3 or 4 years to saying, well, he's the next Leon Draisaitl. Well, you know what? There isn't another Leon Draisaitl. No. And Stützle can play the game, can shoot the puck, can pass, but he's not at that level. And that's I think the expectation just might be too much for him.
Yeah, you know, I watch a lot of their games, and what I see in his game, well, first of all, he gets frustrated easily. So that has to change for him to take the next step. He's got to settle down and stop beating himself up when things don't go his way. And then I think his consistency has to emerge for him to be a top-flight player. You know, when he's good, he's really good, and he shows you flashes of brilliance. And then he might go 2 or 3 games where he's just okay. So, and I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying, if he's going to be one of your go-to guys, he's got to show a little bit more consistency.
How do the Ottawa Senators go from trying to make the playoffs to challenging for an Eastern Conference title? What do you think that they would need?
I think a lot of their guys that are in the 40 to 50 to 60 point level have to ratchet it up another 8 or 10 points. I think defensively they're moving in the right direction. You've already touched on the goaltending. If the goaltending gets more consistent, you know, it's just incremental improvements in little areas. Right now, I think they're a hard team to play against when they're really on their game. They can be tough. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a young core of defense that I don't think they have a 1 through 6 that's going to scare a lot of teams, but they've got some pretty high-end 1 and 2 guys that can make a difference. And if some of their guys, third-line guys, fourth-line guys, show more consistency and toughness, aggressiveness, the way I think Travis wants them to play, they're going to be a harder team to play against. It doesn't happen overnight. You guys know that. You know, they didn't make any huge moves in the offseason, so, which is fine. You don't have to make all kinds of great moves every offseason. If you're happy with what you did last year, the changes that you made, the direction you're moving in, you just hope that your players mature that much more. They got a taste of it in the playoffs. They had a decent showing in the playoffs. And now their players have a better understanding of what it's going to take to win.
What do you think the upside for Brady Tkachuk is?
Boy, his compete level is so high. It's unbelievable. The goofiness that he displays at times, I guess you could argue that sometimes it works for him, sometimes it works against him. And it seems to light a fire under the rest of the team. So from that regard, it can be a really good thing. But as he gets older, well, I think his brother's matured, and maybe it just comes with age, that he's got all the skill in the world. He's just such a good player. I think he's just got a, what is he, 25 years old? He's just got to mature a little bit.
I think success calms that.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened with Matthew, and that's what's happening with Brady.
Yeah. And, you know, he's seen his brother lift the cup twice now. So I'm sure during his alone time when he's evaluating his own career, it's got to flash in his mind, what does my brother do that I'm not doing? Because I think they are comparable players. You know,
I think Brady's better.
Yeah, he might have a higher end. You're right. And so if he's evaluating himself, what can I do a little differently? And maybe it's not getting goofy when the pressure is on. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's showing that. Look at Messier. When Mess was young, He was just a wild man. As he got older, he knew when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And he understood the value of his leadership. And if you're blowing a fuse every second night, at some point that undermines your leadership.
A couple of guys that live in the province of Ontario, I'm curious, what's the feeling about the comparable between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators? Shanny, start with you and Brof, chime in on that. Is it closer to being equal after the loss of Marner?
I don't think so yet. I don't think we're close to renewing the Battle of Ontario yet.
Even after the series?
Even after the series, at least from a Toronto perspective. Toronto's the big bad bully. This could be a changing season though, Darren. There's no question about that. I don't know where they're going to find 100 points that Mitch had. But at the same time, I do think that there are a few people in the organization looking over their shoulder, Mike, at what the Senators have done and what the Senators are doing. And will it be closer? Yeah. And maybe it goes back to the one thing both of you have talked about, and that's, will the Maple Leaf goaltending be able to match the Senators' goaltending or vice versa?
Yeah, I would agree with you, John. I think the Leafs are still what the Ottawa Senators are aiming at right now, and that's understandable. For me, the big question mark is the Maple Leafs, and what are they going to be like as a team this year? And quite frankly, you know, there's so much talk about Marner, so much talk about the goaltending. And my opinion is that if Austin Matthews does not get back to being the Austin Matthews that we saw prior to the last year and a half, nothing else matters. I mean, this guy, I thought 2 years ago, he was deep in the conversation of being the best all-around player in the NHL. His physical game was there. His defensive game was unbelievable. If you watched him on a nightly basis, I'd put him up against anybody in the league in terms of being the best two-way player. And because of injuries, and it's a big mystery, what's holding him back, whether it's the wrist, whether it's the back, doesn't even matter really. But if those injuries prevent him from being that player that he was 2 years ago, it doesn't matter if Marner's here, doesn't matter if the goaltending's good or bad, they are not going to be the team that they could be. So I think everything revolves around Austin Matthews.
John brought up 100 points that Mitch Marner had that they'll have to replace. I'm told from people that have gone through Toronto and played there, he meant more than just the on ice. Like, he ran that room. He wasn't the captain, but he ran the room. He was the organizer. He was the voice. He was the DJ. He was everything. It all revolved around Mitch. And somebody's going to have to absorb a lot of that and moving forward and being that central leader in the room.
Yeah, you know, it's the old story about the guy's good in the room. Well, leave him in the room then. You know, we go out on the ice to play the game. So I like Mitch Marner, and I'm as curious as everybody else what the team's going to look like. But I'm also of the belief that with the coach they have, you can find a way to get around his points if everybody's on the same page in terms of what they need to do, in terms of the coach's structure and what he asks of them. You don't have to win every game 5-4. You can win 3-2. If the goaltending is there, that's certainly – I don't think Ottawa would have pushed the Leafs to 6 games if the goaltender hadn't been hurt.
Right. Right. Who finishes higher then? Toronto?
I think Toronto will. But again, I go back to Austin Matthews and how he plays. And I'm sure Austin's sick and tired of hearing how – he took a giant step back. And when you start to see this time of year, everybody's got their top 20 lists of defense from goalies, centers, and he's way down the list.
And Toronto should be motivated to be great.
Yeah. If that doesn't light a fire under his ass, nothing's going to light a fire. You know, like, who wants to see themselves rated not in the top 10 or at the low end of the top 10 when clearly a year and a half ago, you were in the conversation for 1 or 2.
You know, it's amazing. You know, he did have 78 points in 67 games last year. It wasn't as if he was a total flop. But the expectation now is that he's supposed to be in the same conversation as Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon. And he's not.
No, not. Yeah, he's really dropped off. And John, if you watched him play last year, he became a shooter. Like, he goes into that area where he gets set up for the one timer. There was a lot more to his game 2 years ago than just being a shooter. He's not Phil Kessel. You know, he was a guy who played physical. He was the first guy back in the defensive zone, hard on the puck, or, you know, when the other team was on a breakout, he was coming up fast from behind, lifting the stick and taking the puck. Because of physical limitations, it seemed, he lost a lot of that part of his game. And that's what defined his game. And I didn't see that sort of definition in his game last year.
I miss Phil. I absolutely love Phil Kessel.
I loved him. You know, I remember one of the years I covered the Leafs, and it was the first week of the season, and he was picked player of the week in the NHL. So we're at the practice rink, and of course, everybody's saying to the media guys, could you please get Phil to come out? So Phil comes out, and his line was, "What do you clowns want?" And it's like, come on, Phil, give your head a shake. You're player of the week. You know, we got to touch on that a little bit, don't we? But I love that line. What do you clowns want now?
Being around him that last year when he won the cup in Vegas, but he wasn't playing in the last two rounds, he was still such a great teammate. And I think the detractors of Phil totally missed the boat on what kind of guy that is.
You know, I really liked him a lot.
I got to tell you, I was if I was ever an NHL player, I would mirror my warm up after Phil Kessel.
Darn right.
You know, that's because I like, it's like my golf game. I hate going to the driving range. I refuse to go to the driving range. And I going on the ice, I would just skate out, put the puck on my stick, lean against the boards, and leave.
If we ever get Phil on, we're going to get him to walk through his warm-up for us and guide us through this strategy. I think he took maximum three shots. He'd glide back and forth across the red line. He'd sit on the bench for a while, and he'd look at the clock, and that certain time, boom, he was gone. And that Phil, the Iron Man, was the perfect example of why a pregame warm-up really doesn't do a whole lot for more than three guys.
Now, it's funny to watch the guys who take the warm-up so seriously. And I guess in their mind, it breeds success. But you're right there. And, like, go out and limber up a little bit, but don't get goofy about it.
Well, he certainly didn't do that.
No, he didn't do that. Brophy, you look great. And we're so happy for you. Make sure you keep us up to date on your progress. Say hi to Marilyn. And thank Terry for us.
Yes, and thanks for having me on. You know, you guys were a big part of making people aware that of my situation and what I needed. And I thank the hockey, and of course, when I worked in Peterborough, the lacrosse community. It's just unbelievable to me how people will step up for you.
By the way, it is so good just to sit and talk hockey with you.
It really is. It's a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Be well, buddy, and we'll connect with you during the season, and we'll spend more time on
You better get hung up on the National Hockey League. We're going to ask you a lot of tougher questions than today.
Yeah. I'll work on it for sure, guys. I owe you that much.
Be good, pal.
Thanks a lot.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It was great to talk hockey with him, wasn't it?
It was. And the fact that there are some people in Ottawa grudgingly accepting the fact that the team might move downtown, people in the West End are voicing their displeasure. That's proof that you can't make everybody happy.
Well, tell me about it. You're never going to make everybody happy. One of the big stories, though, in Ottawa is with all the discussion about moving downtown to LeBreton and being that close to Parliament Hill and having a downtown arena with all the infrastructure that it will create, like we've seen at LA Live, like we've seen at Ice District in Edmonton, and heck, what Montreal has done in and around the Bell Centre, Maple Leaf Square, is what's going to happen to Canadian Tire Centre? Because as you know, I mean, it has been a driving force of development and growth out in that area of Ottawa. And I shudder to think what it will mean to all the restaurants that are out there in that development. Yes, it's difficult to get to at times. It's more difficult to get out.
Was that overblown? Was Mike right on that? And I lean towards his opinion in my experiences getting in and out of there.
It's all relative because it's Ottawa versus, say, where I live, where it's difficult to get downtown on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 period. You know, there are lots of days now here that it's much easier for me to drive to a game in Buffalo than it is to drive to a game in Toronto. Just a fact. There's nobody going across the border. Parking's easier in Buffalo. What happens with traffic in Toronto, it's, you know, traffic in Toronto. Toronto's always wanted to be a world-class city. Well, it is, because it is the world-class traffic issues of New York and Tokyo. London. I mean, traffic is, it's a world-class problem in Toronto.
So. Yeah, well, transit in Tokyo and New York is way better.
Yes, it is. Although we do our part. Now, it's difficult for me to complain about traffic when, we've spent the last hour talking to Mike Brophy about real life issues rather than
What's your timeline? Are you thinking 10 years before they're playing at LeBreton?
Seven. I think that we're going to be talking about the 2031-32 season before it's all done. So they need to get six more seasons out of Canadian Tire Centre.
Not a bad way to kick off the eighth season of 100% Hockey with Martin Shannon, with an exclusive on the opening of the LeBreton Flats Arena.
By the way, if we are still doing this show in 8 years, we will be doing something special for sure.
Why wouldn't we be?
No, you might have retired by then, because you
could still do it from Florida or wherever you are down there.
Not Florida.
Down there.
Down there, yeah. What do you mean by that?
In the heat down there. We gave you the avenues if you want to explore organ donation. If you want to get involved, please spread the word. The greatest thing you can do is share this episode and have people listen to it and get the word out on that avenue and being able to really embrace this, because Mike's one of ours. Good buddy. If he can go through it, it's always closer to home when you know somebody. So please.
Canadian Blood Services. So that's www.blood.ca in Canada. And I'm sure that there are easy avenues in the United States as well.
Nobody says www anymore.
I did, just to make me feel old.
Remember the old www. And then finally we got smart. It's just bloodservices.com.
Or bloodservices.ca.
This is where you get frustrated with me.
Yes. Like
bye,
every
John.
Day. Every
have,
day.
Have a great first week of September.
Do not tell me what to do.
At Ability Chiropractic. Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.